seeing the crowd, Jesus went up the mountain and he sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, he taught them. These are the words that begin the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is the man. Jesus is the new Moses. Jesus is the new Adam. Jesus is Savior, Lord, Redeemer, Friend, Master. Jesus is the man. And seeing the crowd, he went up the mountain and he sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus begins the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. The blessings of God. You know, I heard it or read it recently that this radical sermon, and I'm not going to read every word of this radical sermon tonight, but this radical sermon that begins, blessed are the poor, was his first step towards Calvary. In a world that says, blessed are the poor, there's no blessing there. Blessed are those who mourn, where's the blessing? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That sounds like a curse to me. And so this man, they thought, was cursing them. And so the Sermon on the Mount became the first step toward Calvary. We're going to look at, for just a few minutes tonight, the Sermon on the Mount. What does it mean to be blessed? Blessed are the poor. That word blessed, sometimes it's translated happy. Happy are the poor. Sometimes it's translated filled. Filled are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are you poor in spirit? Blessed are the poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit means to depend on God. Do you depend on God? Do you cast all your cares before Him? Do you depend on God? Or are you independent of God? Are you naked before God? Are you a beggar before God? Do you have nothing that God did not give you? When you begin to recognize this, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Are you a spiritual child? Are you a spiritual child standing before God your Father? And all that you could ever have would come from your Father. Then blessed are you. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. What makes you sad? King David wrote a psalm. King David wrote a psalm. This powerful king, this man among men, this king said he wet his pillow with his tears. He prayed the psalm of mourning, weeping over his sin. What makes you sad? Your weakness? Your brokenness, the brokenness of the world around you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you if you wake up in the morning and you see a world that could be so much better. And you mourn. And it makes you sad. It makes you mourn, it makes you weep, it makes you cry, it makes you cry out to God in poverty. Help us, Lord. Blessed are you then. And blessed are the meek. Who wants to be meek? I don't want to be meek. But let's use a different word. How about blessed are the patient? Because that's what meekness is, to be patient in suffering. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are the patient, calm in the face of difficulty. Blessed are those who don't get rattled easily. The opposite of blessed are the meek would be irritable, resentful, and discouraged. Do you want to be blessed? Maybe tonight as we transition to adoration and prayer and you kneel before God and you say, Lord, bless me with poverty of spirit. Help me mourn over my sins. Make nothing in the world sadden me as much as my own sins sadden me. What saddens you? Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You have a craving in you. I have a craving in me. I hunger and thirst for something that food and drink cannot satisfy. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, who crave to be holy. What's your craving? Blessed are you if it's righteousness. Oh, I want to be holy. I want to be righteous, Lord. You see the blessing in these now? You see how Jesus could tell us these are the blessings that you should seek. These are the things you should hunger and thirst for. Sometimes we latch ourselves onto some goal, some idea, some ideal, and we cling to it. We cling to it, and we think, I'll be blessed if I'm rich. I'll be blessed if I'm famous. I'll be blessed if I'm successful here. And we hunger and we thirst after a wreath that goes around our head that withers. And we hunger and thirst. But do you hunger and thirst for holiness? Oh, blessed are you who are here tonight. I would say, blessed are you. I want to bless you all with the blessing of hungering and thirsting for holiness. And when you recognize that you're not nearly as holy as you should be, when you begin to hunger and thirst for holiness, then you can be merciful. And blessed are you who are merciful. When you recognize your own sin, guess what? You're real easy about doing, about forgiving other people, right? But if you're not hungering and thirsting for holiness, It's a lot harder to be merciful. So blessed are you, merciful. And blessed are you who make peace. And blessed are you when you stand up and you say, blessed are the poor, and blessed are the hungry, and blessed are those who seek justice, and people don't appreciate that. And Jesus lived all these things perfectly. He lived these things perfectly. The Sermon on the Mount. Have you ever read the Sermon on the Mount, the whole thing? Once upon a time, I was watching a movie. Once upon a time, I was watching a movie, and there was Jesus. Jesus was standing up on a hill, right? And he was saying all of these sayings, and I was thinking to myself, he didn't say all of that all at once. He spaced that over a few weeks, because that's the way I always heard it in church. But he said it all at once. He said it all at once. So have you ever read it all at once? Maybe you don't even have a Bible at home. You know, we've got some Bibles here in the back of the church. I can't give them away. I wish I could give them away. I would give them away. And if you really can't afford a Bible, I will give you one. But we have a bunch in the back of the church, a bunch of wonderful, beautiful study Bibles that explain these blessings, that explain the Sermon on the Mount, and you can read it. Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. When you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret, he will repay you. In praying, do not babble like the pagans who think they will be heard because they say a lot of words. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask. You believe God knows what you need, that he knows you better than you know yourself? You come here tonight and you kneel before God and you're going to pray. And when you pray, go to that inner place in your heart. Go to that inner room inside of yourself. And your Father will see you there. This is how you are to pray. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the greatest sermon ever preached. This is Jesus laying out his plan. This is his first discourse. This is how you are to pray. Our Father. In heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Is it a selfish prayer? Is it talk about me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom, your will, your name. Anybody here use God's name? You think about this. What's number two commandment? Don't use the name of the Lord in vain. What's the number one, the first petition in the Our Father? That God's name be made holy. There's something about that name. This is how you are to pray, that God's name be holy, that God's kingdom would come, that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we turn to him and we ask for what we need. And what's the first thing that we need, brothers and sisters? Our daily bread. Who could that be? I am the bread of life. Who could that be? Give us this day our daily bread. Who could that be? Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not subject us to the final test, but deliver us from the evil one. My brothers and sisters, our daily bread. In just a moment, we're going to kneel.
before our daily bread, the bread of life, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You come here and seek His blessing. Seek His blessing. Open the eyes of my heart that my heart might be pure and I can see You. Seek His blessing. Blessed are You. Blessed are You. And pray as He taught us. Not for yourself, but for all of us. And come before the bread of life and open your heart and receive His blessings.